You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. Don't call it a comeback.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn. I'm your host, Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And across from me, as almost always, your Dell Match Play champion, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, you look a little tan, man.
I should be. I'm not the Dell Match Play champion yet.
Okay? No, you're just our Dell Match Play champion.
This is day one of the Dell Match Play. We still got a few more days, Eddie.
All right. Well,
so, no, it was great.
Knock yourself down a
piece. I spent the afternoon over at Austin Country Club, literally sitting on the tee box of hole 16.
Oh, dude, you got to stay on hole three with the view.
Well,
and right on the water with the bridge, man. Come on.
Let me show. Well, have you been there?
Yeah.
So it's opposite. So they actually do like the front nine typically at Austin Country Club is now the back nine.
Oh, okay.
And so hole 12 is the one that goes down in that has the view of the bridge.
Okay.
So it's right at the bottom of that. And so this is my view that I had of Rory teeing off.
Nice.
So that's from the suite that I was in.
Look at that
day.
Button, those white pants.
Yeah, so I was in a suite all day long, and it was pretty fantastic.
Man, but, your life isn't real.
Well, it was a good time. So
I'm going to follow you around with a camera.
Well, that would be boring. Eddie, so this Friday night, though, part of South by Southwest, and I don't want to spoil it because I know that our good friends, Stu and Justin, Sports Guys Talking Wrestling, they're going to talk about Wrestle Circus. Matt Hardy was in Austin, Texas, pretty much deleting the audience here.
I heard Matt Hardy was in Stu's car, so tune in for that story.
Matt Hardy was in Stu's car. That is a correct statement.
I'm like, I hope he vacuumed it out first. You know,
you might say that Stu's car is deleted.
It's gone.
So,
there's nothing there.
But now, speaking of cars, I was also a glorified Uber driver on Saturday night. Actually, this is Friday night into Saturday morning from about 2 to 2:30.
Well, you were up that late?
It was a very late night. I spent about 45 minutes driving Colt Cabana around. And as we talked about kind of his family, his parents, we did not talk about CM Punk.
We're all just cruising the streets of Austin.
Well, no, so he needed to go to CVS. Some other wrestlers wanted to get some food. And so I had to drop some wrestlers off at one hotel. Then I had to drop Colt off at another hotel.
Wait, did you get paid for this at all?
No, I mean, I went in and helped cover the... So Stu, I know, kind of sticks around and he helps take people home. And I said, look, I'm happy. If you guys need some help, I'm happy to help you out. So the show didn't start till 9 o'clock. So it was a late show in general. And it was a really good show. It was interesting because it was a bigger venue. Mm-hmm. And you probably got more kind of just South by fans that were not just all hardcore wrestling fans. You still had a lot of hardcore fans.
Right.
But it was still a fun night. And so I did spend about 30, 35 minutes with Colt Cabana driving around in my Hyundai Sonata.
Yeah.
And as we drove home, we just kind of talked, and I thought at one point maybe I should just record this. But I was like, the guy
like that. What's that WWE show? Ride Along.
Ride Along. Yeah. This could be Ride Along with Jordan and Colt.
Yeah.
But that that did not happen.
Tell me you passed out some business cards.
I didn't. I let Stu
Jordan,
kind of take care of that.
Come
I had
on,
a good
man.
Conversation with Matt Riddle.
Cool.
Just about kind of what he is doing.
And you didn't record that?
Well, I think Stu is going to try. I try to let Stu have that, and it was just a conversation between me.
Well, we've got the UFC angle over here.
So he was talking about Tough and how he got in and made that transition, first from like being a WWE fan, going into MMA, and then making that transition after being cut by the UFC on his four-fight win streak into WWE, or into wrestling.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, Saturday I went to see the Belko Experiment.
Okay.
And it is pretty much exactly what you imagine. I would wait for the DVD or to just catch on HBO.
Well, I, on Saturday...
But, you know, lots of blood on the screen, so...
On Saturday, I went and watched Beauty and the Beast.
Ooh.
And we were singing...
Which one are you?
And more of a Gaston, no. And we went around singing songs. Well, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Is that the Candlestick?
No, that is not. That's Lumiere. My son, 7-year-old, 8-year-old Drake, absolutely in love with Emma Watson. Just like...
How could he not?
Every time Belle's on the phone, she's like, she's so beautiful.
Aww.
And so he was definitely enamored with Belle in that show. So, Eddie, you beat me. I mean, we can barely call it a win. I mean, we tied on UFC fights, but you beat me on World Series of Fighting.
Well, what do we got over here?
I mean, is that? I don't know if that's even like a real thing.
Cup of haters.
I saw that. So you picked Corey Anderson. I picked Jimmy Manoa. I picked Alan Jobian. You picked Gunnar Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got when it came down to World Series of Fighting, I had Sean Jordan and Lance Palmer. You had Blagoy Ivanov and Andre Harrison.
You know, so, at that level, you can't bet against the Russians.
And those fights happened. Okay. So on World Series of Fighting.
Okay.
So,
well, first off, I'd like to formally apologize to Jimmy Manoa for not changing my mindset about him since the Gustafsson fight. Because,
yeah.
Oh my God, that left hook he put on Corey Anderson.
Like, it was like the stutter fall, too. Like, he stood up and then went down.
I mean, okay, when he took off his fight kit, my eyes popped. I was like, holy crap, what is he on? He is huge all of a sudden. Yeah. The difference between him and Corey Anderson, when you see them standing together in that fight, it's like a heavyweight and a middleweight. They are not, they should not be in the same class. I'm not saying Manoa is on something.
No.
I'm just saying he's a lot bigger than he was.
I would just say that I think we misjudged Manoa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we said he was ranked fourth. We thought he didn't really belong in that upper echelon of, you know, light heavyweights.
Right.
But he looked good. And that left hook, you're right, that was devastating.
I mean, who's going to tell him after that left hook that he doesn't belong there?
Well, you know who he wants now. He wants, so after the fight, he called out the winner of DC or Rumble Johnson.
Right.
He said he did not want John Jones, you know, said he's a steroid user. Just come back now and said, look, I would fight the winner of DC versus Rumble. I'd fight John Jones. Or if we're talking about boxing versus MMA, I'd like David Hayes. Are you tired of this, Eddie?
Now, how is someone who's all of a sudden gotten that jacked going to call someone else a drug user? I'm not saying Manoa's on something. I'm just saying, dude, you both have some big gains in muscle. You can't talk.
All right.
Just yet. John Jones, we know, used boner pills and cocaine. Those are completely different than steroids. But,
well.
Yeah.
All right. So Gunnar Nelson in the co-main event of the night.
Oh, man.
Against Alan Jobian. I mean, the shot that he knocked, the wobbly legs that Alan Jobian had.
Yeah.
Before Gunnar Nelson kind of hits him with that kick and then goes straight for the guillotine.
It just like, it was almost like a jab. It was just a straight right. I mean, it didn't look like much, but the reaction it got was much. And you're just thinking, did that just happen? That just happened.
Where does Gunnar Nelson go next? I mean, he's number 9 in the rankings. Nothing really changed over the weekend. I mean, a fight against Stephen Thompson would be really interesting.
But that's a big jump.
That would be a big jump. But you've got Damian Maia and Jorge Masvidal tied up.
Mm-hmm.
Donghun Kim, I mean, that's...
Yeah, the stun gun would be a good one. The cowboy.
Yeah.
Either one of those would be great.
Condit.
Another big jump, but I don't see why not.
Not too big, you know. I mean, because where else does Carlos Condit go? He's already hit. He has losses to Robbie Lawler. He's got a loss to Damian Maia.
I'd like to see Condit Magny.
Yeah, we'll see.
A couple of tall, lanky guys.
All right, Brad Pickett. He lost his final fight, and he was winning the first two rounds.
He was.
And then he gets caught with a head kick and loses via TKO. He leaves his hat in the cage. Now, obviously,
nice
he was going for kind of that storybook ending that he gave Uriah Faber.
Right.
Uriah Faber earned back in Sacramento in December. But Pickett says that he doesn't really have any regrets, that he's okay the way he went, and he's happy. I mean, I guess you have to be.
Well, yeah, well, things like that make you realize that not seeing that, not being able to get out of the way, means it's time to go. Had he won that fight in convincing fashion, he might have changed his mind. But that's one of those things, like Eve Edwards has talked about before, just all of a sudden you just can't get out of the way as quickly as you used to. You just can't tag them as well as you used to. You just can't escape those submissions as well as you used to. So it's just best to go.
Yeah, I agree. So, and then finally, Joe Duffy, in his final fight on his UFC contract, gets a win in a unanimous decision over Reza Madadi. What did you think of that?
Honestly, I didn't get to catch that one.
Okay, well, you know, Joe Duffy always looks good, always looks impressive, and it was good to see him kind of get those 15 minutes, and I can't imagine that we're not going to see him again in UFC. The fact that he has a win over Conor McGregor, he needs to talk about that more.
He does.
To make him, you know, to get those bigger paydays.
He needs to pull in Nate Diaz and just call out Conor out of nowhere.
Yeah, I get
it doesn't have to make sense. We've seen recently, it doesn't have to make sense.
So, hey, the only thing I would say about World Series of Fighting, I heard Lance Palmer, I heard he broke his hand on the first punch of the night.
Well, that didn't stop his face from getting connected by those fists.
I mean, obviously, you get your hand get your hand broken. I mean, that could change things.
It could, but not the head movement. The Magomedov Frilo fight, that was horrendous. It was 15 minutes of lay and pray, really. And, of course, the heavyweight bout, Ivanov and Jordan, a minute 43. It's what you expect out of big heavyweights.
I'll be honest. I watched the Lance Palmer-Andre Harrison fight.
Pretty good fight.
And then I fell asleep and never went back and watched the other fight. Or saw any fights before that.
Well, that's because you were out chauffeuring wrestlers around.
I was tired, man.
And you had to catch up, man.
Yeah, that's true. So, Eddie, we got some big news right now.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a guest for us right now coming. We're going to call the Brian Campbell.
The Brian
from
Campbell.
CBS Sports. Now, you might know him from Cheap Heat. You might know him from Five Rounds, but we've got him here tonight.
CBS cares.
So we'll be talking to Brian Campbell right after this on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. All right, we are back on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. We've got a really special guest with us today. You might know him from Cheap Heat on ESPN. You might know him from the Five Rounds podcast on ESPN. But now you probably know him from CBS Sports. We've got the Brian Campbell with us today. Brian, how you doing?
Doing great. Not only did you remember the V beforehand, which is like, you know, borderline a royal, you know, royal welcome in here, but how about those tunes to get us in? You know, that's what I'm talking about.
You like that? Today is actually the, I believe, the 1 year anniversary of the death of Fife.
Yeah, so, R.I.P.
Only fitting.
I think, and that's you know, that's my favorite album in hip hop history by far. So
yeah.
You know,
and one short guy to another. Yeah,
there we go. So exactly. First, I have to ask Brian, the Brian Campbell. Now, is that a Rosenberg thing, or is that's been going on for a while?
No, that's a Rosenberg thing in sort of an accidental response to the Brian Kendrick being on his brain.
Yes.
And this was right before Kendrick came back as a cruiserweight, you know, in this new role where he sort of refurbished his career. So it was sort of a flip of the tongue, and he dropped it, and the, you know, the Twitterverse picked it up. So I can't complain about it.
Yeah, you like that. When the Twitterverse gets behind something, you got to like that. So Brian is the lead sports writer, and tell me if I'm right, at CBS Sports, for all things WWE, all things MMA, and all things boxing. Do I have that correct?
That's true. A verifiable triple threat right
there.
Here.
We go. So you're pretty much like right in our wheelhouse.
The perfect guest.
Yeah, right there. I mean, it's people are fighting. I'm paying attention.
Yeah, that's right. So Brian, I called you this morning. I texted you this morning. I said, hey man, we need to get you on the show. Let's talk about Mania. We're 11 days out. How excited are you?
You know, really fired up, and I felt like there was, like, I kept using the term embarrassment of riches available to WWE with not only a handful of legendary names that they can plug in right away, but such a deep roster because of this brand split where I felt like they could not get it wrong. And while I'm sure you guys will agree, maybe you wanted to see this Mania lineup come out a little bit differently, maybe you have a few bones to pick here and there, but if you actually just call it up on the screen and look at it, it's such a deep lineup. It's such a deep card that you can't be anything but pumped up heading into April 2nd because, you know, some of the storylines were so well done. There's a lot of things set up where we don't know which matches, let's say, are going to be the ones we're going to remember, the two or three moments. But we know that there's more options this year, certainly than last year, and I think more options than maybe the last 4, 5, 6 years combined.
And really, you know, if you look at the card for Mania, and we'll talk about the card in a little bit, but there's really something for everybody between Goldberg and Brock Lesnar, between, you know, you get your cruiserweights, you've got some great women's matches, you have, you know, Shane McMahon versus AJ Styles, John Cena's getting on there. There's a little bit of everything on this fight card.
Even some soap opera drama.
Yeah.
I was going to say, your total Bellas fans out there got to be pumped up about this, right? I mean, this thing's overachieved like no one could have guessed.
Yeah. So last night, SmackDown is in Connecticut. The running grounds, the grounds of that you roam. And I think you were in the building, right?
Absolutely. I was in the building as a fan and at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Connecticut.
So what are the big differences, Brian, you see right now in kind of the buildup of kind of between SmackDown and Raw as they kind of lead up and they build up to Mania?
I think, you know, Raw, sort of the identity of the show is it's a little bit more star heavy. So you're going to get, you know, less, let's say, commitment to storyline and sort of long-term play outside of really, you know, the Owens and Jericho, which has been going for a long time. And maybe, you know, maybe Triple H and Rollins, but they certainly took some time off. I think SmackDown, you just have, you know, they build it as the land of opportunity, but you really see that in the way that, that people are getting some good pushes that, that you didn't think maybe they would. And, you know, specifically last night, the rebranded Usos going over was incredibly great to see, whether they're going to be on the, you know, the Mania card or not. But I think, you know, SmackDown's won since this brand split with better episodes. But when they come together for the majors in the three or four, you know, in the four times a year, you're still seeing Raw dominate that card. And it was that way at Royal Rumble. And it was, you know, it's certainly that way when you look at the WrestleMania card, where, you know, certainly much more prominence is given to the title opportunities and the title matches of what's going on Raw as you look at the Mania card than what's going on SmackDown.
Yeah, except for that part, The Undertaker, who said that he bled blue, you know, just right around Survivor Series. And sure enough, now he's coming back and, you know, no mention of that.
Yeah, you know, we're supposed to forget things as fans. Are we supposed to forget that The Undertaker defeating Shane McMahon last year at Mania would keep Shane McMahon away from ever being back on, you know, TV in a creative role again? So things change quickly. Let's just put it like that.
And I think we can count the times, I think on one hand, that Shane has not been around since that loss at Mania.
Yeah, I know, exactly, which really devalued that match. And is always a bone of contention when they do swerves in storylines like that. But, I mean, you bring up Shane McMahon, this wasn't the match or the feud that people wanted, but do you guys feel like they've built it enough where you're excited, especially about what happened last night with him going through the table with the elbow on AJ?
That was pretty nice. And I got to say, I haven't marked out for a tag team winning a championship like that in a long time, because I've been needing to see the Usos come back to the top.
Yeah, that day one stuff, I like that. Yeah. So, no, but going back to Shane and AJ Styles, I mean, last week it was intense. You know, seeing Shane put his head thrown, get his head thrown through the car window. I mean, that was a very intense moment, and I loved how all the different cameras, the cameras from inside the car that they showed as well to make sure that they knew it. They had that. But no, this.
How about the blood? How about the blood, yeah, too? You know, we got a blood packet in there. You can't argue with that.
I obviously, you know, smart fans, they wanted to see maybe someone like, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura come up, but we're probably not ready for that, and we wouldn't have that same impact that we can imagine by, you know, AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura, which we know would be a great match. But it wouldn't resonate yet because they haven't built it up here in the WWE.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. That hardcore pop from the real true fans would be huge. But then suddenly, you know, that match goes from being, you know, AJ and let's say the third or fourth most important Mania match now. And if he's going against Nakamura, that's suddenly the you know, seventh, eighth, or ninth most important, because, you know, we know what WrestleMania is. It goes after those casual fans. It goes after those lapsed fans, those crossover sports fans. And they're not going to know who Nakamura is, you know, whether we as hardcore fans believe he should have been called up, you know, at this point already. So, again, at the beginning, I was like everybody else where I didn't love the idea of AJ Shane, but I have to give them credit, not only for the intensity, but they're actually telling a story. They're, you're right, like, you know why AJ is in this feud, whether you thought it was too much of a stretch for him to be assaulting his own employer so quickly and really going that dark of a, you know, he was already a heel, but that's a dark heel move, right?
Yeah.
At least there's a justification. What I don't know yet is if there's the same justification to get me to care about, let's say, Reigns and Taker on that same level outside of just two big stars. I know what's at stake. I know the guys involved, but why are they actually fighting? I don't know if they've done enough to really, you know, like, they've left a little bit on the table in that regard. It's just sort of, oh, well, they're fighting over whose yard it is. Like, that wasn't
who's
enough
the bigger
yet.
Dog, obviously.
You know, Brian,
yeah,
you're leading right into what I was going to ask, because it seems like outside of maybe, like you said, Jared KO, they haven't really done much to set up many of these fights, like maybe a two-week buildup. You know, that's not the usual way, whereas, like, I guess Brock and Goldberg started at SummerSlam last year.
Yeah, there's not enough balance to the storytelling, because certainly you can use it as an example, the Wyatt Orton match as being an almost an old school build, you know, 8-9 months with many different turns and swerves, with a commitment of showing you that this was the feud you were supposed to care about, whether you realized it during those moments or not. This is the one they're putting the money beyond. I think you made a great point where you're saying, what about the rest of those? You know, there's too much. I don't mind if you throw it together last minute, but you have to give me a reason, and I always point to this. You know, you guys know when you're watching Mania, one of the best things, especially when you go back and watch a Mania, one of the best things is that video package right before that condenses all those moments and making it feel like it was the best buildup ever. I don't want to ever have to guess how we got here. I don't have to go, wait, why are they fighting again? Like, it should be automatic. Steamboat's larynx was crushed by a maniacal Savage. You should know from the beginning why this started. And it really, it makes me upset when you don't know. And when it's sort of like, oh, well, that guy gave that guy a dirty look one time. That's not enough, right?
Yeah, and I know obviously they're different brands, but if Raw had spent almost anywhere near as much time on Undertaker and Reigns as SmackDown did on the Battle of the A-List Couples, I'd be much more excited. I mean, this soap opera thing has got me, fast-forwarding and hitting mute.
So that's funny. So what's your thought on that? So, Eddie obviously does not watch Total Bellas.
Well, everybody's got to draw a line in the sand and say, how much WWE content do I have room for in my life, right? Like, everybody's got a line. A lot of people are like, I don't watch NXT and 205, but I'll watch everything else. But some people are like, no, I'm watching Ride Along. I'm watching Total Bellas. I don't dig that deep where I'm doing the reality show circuit. But like a lot of people, I had to eat some crow because when I hear this is a mixed tag team, I go, wow, you're wasting John Cena because he's coming off of a pair of almost 5-star matches with AJ.
Sure.
Where if we're already upset that AJ's not in a title match, as much as I don't necessarily want to see AJ Cena again, if you're telling me that's going to main event WrestleMania, I'm going to get excited because I know I'm going to see a 5-star match. Like, there's no doubt about it. I had that same feeling with Cena because I felt like The Miz was at a level where he deserved something true to his nickname of the A-list, or he deserved an A-level push and feud. And this felt like, you're getting the girls involved. This is going to be cheesy. Whether or not you thought it was cheesy this week on SmackDown, and I'll accept an opinion either way, whether that was funny or that was too far or too lame, whatever. Man, am I dialed into this. And you know why, guys? Obviously, because they're playing on real-life things. I actually believe that Mike Mazzane in the locker room thinks those things about John Cena, right? Like, that's not too far of a stretch of the imagination.
And it
so
sounds like,
that little rap battle, it's like, get you fired up.
Yeah, almost like Maurice and Nikki, they kind of have those same kind of true feelings about each other as well. This is not so far away from the truth.
And I got to tell you, they got me with the whole Cena tying his shoes thing at the end of the segment. That one actually made me laugh out loud.
Yeah. So now speaking.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to change subjects, but speaking of women, so I was just I watched in women's wrestling. I was at Wrestle Circus this week. It's a great promotion out here in Austin, Texas, and I saw a great match this week between Rachel Ellering and Tessa Blanchard, and it was fantastic. Tessa Blanchard, I think she jumped off the stage onto Rachel Ellering into the crowd, and it was fantastic. But we have some good matches at WrestleMania for women's matches. Which matches are you looking forward to the most? Are you looking forward to the SmackDown match or the Raw match?
You know, it really comes down to, are you looking forward to star power, which you get on the Raw side with not great storytelling, versus, the more balanced storytelling of being a little bit more invested into where each character is. I think, unfortunately, it's going to lean back on Raw because they have, just by the breakdown of the rosters, they have the better superstars, if you will. You know, I mean, when you're housing Charlotte and Sasha alone, you're going to have that one-up advantage. So I'm more excited to see where that four-way match plays out, because you kind of knew with the women's situation, unless they're going back to the well on Sasha and Charlotte again, and if they did, guys, if they had gone that way, the same argument I just made for AJ and Cena, if you had said Sasha and Charlotte are going to have their final blow-off and this is going to be our A1, A2 main event, you couldn't have been upset at that because they had put enough effort into it. It's a four-way now. There's just not enough real estate. It is the way it is. But I think Nia Jax is somebody who's made such a leap since the Royal Rumble when she blew away Sasha Banks, and they started to really change course on her booking and be nastier, stop making her sell so imaginatively, in ways that just would not make sense. Now I'm interested to see where she fits in, because I think the problem on that Raw women's side is I just haven't believed Bayley as the champion. I haven't believed the effort put into this push, how they've constantly been almost burying her in the way that they've been writing it. And I know that they're doing a little Daniel Bryan-esque type moves to try to make this work, but it hasn't worked. Bayley with the belt has not been believable. So I want to see how this four-way works with Nia. Does Dana Brooke come back? I think there's enough things to get me excited about. We're on the SmackDown side. While I care more about those women and their own individual feuds during the year, they haven't really told a story enough to make you invested in who actually comes out with that belt in that multi-person match. Unless Asuka's getting a last-minute call-off, guys, sure. I really don't care how that match plays out.
Yeah. So, Bayley, I think it's interesting you refer to Bayley kind of that Daniel Bryan-esque, and we see that. But Daniel Bryan could connect to all types of fans. And Bayley, just for me on the microphone, just still, like, doesn't do it.
She doesn't do it. And guys, I don't know if you notice this. There's no chemistry when Bayley is wrestling Sasha or Charlotte. It's a glaring lack of in-ring chemistry. Not just back and forth on the mic, just the way they compliment each other and work. The matches really seem like, it seems like the women's era of old where people couldn't get into it because not only was it a little bit too much DNA, but it was just a little bit too much. The wrestling wasn't on that level. Obviously, Sasha and Charlotte and the work that all four of those girls did in NXT, that raised it to a higher level. But the version of Bayley in NXT hasn't shown herself on the main roster. And some of that's the writing. Some of that is things just look different in a small arena compared to a stadium. You know, like when you love a band and you can go watch your favorite band in that club, but when they're playing in the stadium, you know, because does it resonate? And I think Bayley's having that problem.
Brian, last week Jordan was going on and on about how the WrestleMania card is too long. You know, they just added my man, the Lone Wolf, Baron Corbin, who I've become a big fan of in the last year for the IC title. Yeah, he's the most metal athlete there is, right?
All right, I will tell this.
Now, are they going to add the Usos and American Alpha's rematch? And to make it even longer, to make Jordan even more upset.
I said this last week. I said, look, the card already, it's 12 fights deep. You have Rollins and Triple H not even on there yet. We don't have a SmackDown title match. And we don't even have a Rock segment that'll probably be 30 minutes with him, you know, with cheerleaders and you know, fire guns. WrestleMania last year was long. And it was, you know, it was 6 hours long. They already say it's going to be 7 hours long. That's a long time for me to be sitting in a seat. I mean, I'm going to be at home and... But still, I mean, that's a long night.
And Jordan's old.
No, it is too long, guys, right? Like, it's way too long. I hope that the reason why we had such a good Usos match, just one example, in when the tag belts 2 weeks before Mania, is that maybe they just said, there's no room for these guys. We got to draw it somewhere, you know? I mean, that Battle Royal has already been marginalized enough. I call it the Jobber Battle Royal, you know, and it's insulting, but it's true. That's been marginalized enough. So the show's too long. Last year suffered from severe poorly pacing. I think, you know, that main event never had a chance.
People walking out on that main event.
Right, yeah, never had a chance because you started so late, because you let Rock go for so long. And I know there's people that loved that Rock segment. I didn't personally love it. I thought, you know, you're letting the Wyatt family just get jobbed again, which was the storyline for them at that point. You have to pace it better. I think you have an option, though. If you go to Goldberg and Lesnar in that main event, and we know they've only wrestled each other for what, a total of like 4.5
sure.
minutes. You know, Goldberg's only up in this point. Even if you go only 10 minutes, but you really tell a good story, if that's the closer and you pace it right leading up to it, it may not feel like a 6.5-7 hour show where last year felt like that. It's really all about, when you look at that card, guys, which matches are going to get the short end of the stick? Which ones are only going to be 3 minutes with a gimmick and, you know, gimmick exit in a schmoz finish? Which ones are going to be? You got to play that out the right way, because not everybody can get 25 minutes. So as long as they handle that right and everyone goes home happy, then you've seen this in pay-per-view reviews through the years. If you go home happy, you have such a built-in advantage of getting a great review for your pay-per-view. So as long as they save what the best for last, and if that's, you know, Brock going over, whatever your prediction is and leading into what's next, that's going to cover a lot of sins.
Well, you know, that comes up to my next question is, are they going to have the main event be the Universal title or the WWE title?
I thought all along, for the reasons I mentioned, that it would be the Universal, because it gives you that easy out. It allows you to not have to go long, because by the time we get there, there will be such a high level of fatigue for the majority of the fans. But a lot of people, though, have argued and said, it's got to be Wyatt in Orton, because
it always
again,
has been,
that
right?
Point I made.
But that has the potential to be a long, methodical match.
It does. You're right. But the one thing that WWE has been trying to teach us for the last 8 months is that's the rivalry they care about the most. I mean,
can't tell by looking at the poster.
Main event SummerSlam, but, you know, from the Rumble to Survivor Series to the in-between pay-per-views, Bray or Randy have been consistently going on last, no matter what. I hope it's Brock in the end, but, you know, they've been putting a lot of effort into it. I mean, you know, Bray's rubbing the ashes of dead people on his body. They're putting a lot of time into this. Yeah. They may go that route for the close.
We will find out. So that is our SmackDown preview, guys. That is the Brian Campbell. Brian, we're going to keep you around. Let's do one more segment. We got a couple of news. So, guys, stay around. We're going to be right back with a little bit of What Up With That right here on 104.9 The Horn and HornFM.com.
Well, sit on down and tell me what up with that. What up with that? What up with that? Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, me said, what up with that? Who knew you knew, said what voodoo? What up with that? What up with that? Yes, sir.
Brian, we like to call this segment, What's Up With That? And Jordan being a huge SNL fan, myself being a big SNL fan, and it just so happens that this is one of the biggest years of Saturday Night Live in recent memory. It's perfect timing.
Absolutely.
Me and myself, I can't wait to see Louis C.K. Was it next week?
I think so.
Oh, that's going to be great. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, Conor McGregor was at the Mick Conlon fight over the weekend. And he got all up in the face of the boxing journalists. Jordan, Brian, what's up with that?
Yeah, so I'll take this one first. So there's a lot going on in this whole Conor McGregor, Mayweather kind of story. It's almost like it never ends. We joke that we talk about it every week, and we think, okay, well, we probably won't talk about it next week. But yet again, here it is. Dana White was on Conan O'Brien last week saying that he doesn't see this fight not happening anymore. There's just too much money to be made.
Well, he's talking to one of his bosses, basically, right?
Yeah, well, that is true. Now, Brian, you were in New York last week. I know you're at the Triple G fight. Did you go to the fight on Friday night as well?
I did not. I came the next morning, but I was watching a feed of that fight and was seeing it all break down with McGregor. And, man, it was wild. You watched that man play the boxing media, you know, a new outlet for him, but play the boxing media like a fiddle, right? Like only, like we haven't seen, I'm going to say this, like we haven't seen since Ali, this guy just took over and put himself in the headline.
So the next night, on Saturday night, what was kind of the talk from the boxing media? And what were they thinking? I mean, after this night, you know, the night before.
There's still a lot of pushback of why is this guy coming into, I don't want to say our sport, but coming in there with the attitude of filling out the headlines with what amounts to a carnival fight in the eyes of boxing fans, boxing media, because there's just not an argument to be made in a traditional boxing match, of course, that McGregor would have a chance, even against a 40-year-old Mayweather. I think there's been a little bit too much of the old boys club, though, thing going on of not wanting him to come in when I saw a lightning rod come through a boxing match on Friday night when he came by ringside media, and what that rant he put on was maybe 60 seconds long, and he just took over, and it was the kind of fun, the kind of must see that you do not see enough of in boxing. You really, guys, you don't see enough of in any sport. And Jordan, you've been to a lot of these UFC cards, you've been to a lot of these McGregor cards. You know what that is like at these press conferences. When he takes over, it's entertainment central in a way that really no other athlete can. I saw him make this run, having followed and covered the UFC for a handful of years, make this run and change that company. If he does that to boxing, even in a one-off, even in a carnival way, I don't see where this is bad for the sport. So there's a lot of buzz, and I think the people that are sort of negative against it might just coming around because that guy brings fun. I mean, whether this fight is for real or should be taken seriously or not, this guy brings it.
Yeah, I mean, it now seems like this fight, again, Eddie still doesn't believe this fight is happening.
I'm starting to come around a little bit.
Yeah, but now we're hearing like September 16th. I'm a little bummed out because I have my flights for Vegas for June 10th, and it looks like I'm going to have to cancel those flights now. But September 16th, that seems to be the day people are talking about. Conor says he's extremely close. Brian, you interviewed Floyd just a few months ago, maybe just 2 months ago. Did you feel like he was serious about this? I mean,
no. Up until Wednesday afternoon of this past week, I had the same mindset I had 2 months ago talking to Floyd, where, look, I know that Floyd has a history of swerving the media, of playing them like a fiddle, like I talked about McGregor. So I straight up asked Floyd at that point 2 months ago, you know, what's the talking been like with Dana White or McGregor or the UFC? And his response was, oh, I haven't talked to them. Because, look, this was not a real story for a long time. And up until Wednesday afternoon of this week, I would have told you, wake up. This fight is not going to happen. This is McGregor. Knowing what he makes with the UFC, but also knowing what guys like Mayweather and Pacquiao make guaranteed for their fights in boxing, and wanting a piece of that pie in the UFC. So this was a stunt to drive up his bargaining value and leverage. That's what I thought it was up to this point all along. If he had a chance to back into this Mayweather fight, did I think Conor would take it? Of course, right? He can make a, you know, six or seven fights worth of money in one night. Of course he would, and he's crazy enough to think that he might have a chance to win. But when Dana White came out and pulled a 180 this Wednesday, first to TMZ, second to Conan O'Brien, that changed everything, Jordan. I mean, because you heard after that UFC Denver card in January, I believe it was, where Dana White sat down with the media and said, if Conor tries to make this Floyd fight, it will be an epic fall. And I don't like to use this word because it's got bad connotations, but that was a mafioso voice on Dana White. That was a look into the camera and say, do not cross me. Well, hey guys, what's happened since then? You know, did WMEIMG, the new UFC owners, say, "Hey Dana, we have a lot of money to pay back. We are in debt to the gills to purchase this organization for $4 billion. We need a cut of that."
Yeah.
So you got to go out there and say, you know, we're not getting in the way. Maybe that happened because something changed in a big way. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but what is going to stop this fight from happening?
Well, technically, he just said if Conor tries to make it. He didn't say if we try to make it. So technically, I'm reaching. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. So it seems like we're closer than ever to seeing this fight. Brian, I know you're going to try to be there. I will try to be there as well. But Brian, I know you got to run. I appreciate your time. Where can people find you right now?
Oh, hit me up on Twitter at bcampbellcbs. CBSSports.com, any of the three fight sport pages. We're going to be launching a WWE page in the near future. And don't look now, but I'll be back on the podcast scene with CBS Sports coming up, a separate one in all three of the fight sports that we'll be launching and debuting soon in this corner with Brian Campbell. You're going to find me. So appreciate you having me on, guys. You know, anytime, let's talk some fights. Right?
Yeah, I love it. Brian, nice. You're giving me feelings. I love this. I've been missing this. I've been needing these feelings. So.
Right in the field spot. That's what I'm talking about.
There we go. All right, Brian. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Now, Brian had to go, but we're still here, and we're still playing What's Up With That. And, Jordan, speaking of Conor, just today, Wednesday afternoon, Conor met with the NSAC, Nevada State Athletic Commission, to discuss his fine from UFC 202.
So it seems like Conor is not even slowly. He is making his way, fixing those wrongs as he goes and gets a license from Nevada for boxing. So that, I think it was, $50,000 and or $75,000 and 50 hours of community service.
Yeah.
It has now been reduced. It is now $25,000 and 25 hours of community service. So he met with NAC, the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and he got that reduced. So you would think that he is now on better terms with Nevada. So that clears the way to get that license.
And so if anyone out there is going to Vegas anytime soon, be on the lookout. You might see Conor McGregor wearing, you know, an orange vest, picking up trash on the highway, you know.
Well, now you also know what the going rate is for throwing a bottle of Monster.
Yeah, so. It's an expensive can of drink, man. All right, Jordan. Bellator made big news this week, picking up two free agents from the UFC. What's up with that?
Yeah, so last week we talked about a key Bellator signing in Dylan Danis. Now, it's big in the fact that he is a young talent. He is known to associate with Conor McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
So last Thursday, Bellator announced that they had signed Lorenz Larkin. Now, Lorenz Larkin, he was on a two-fight win streak. He had wins over Jorge Masvidal and Neil Magny. So not slouches.
Right.
Two guys that are right up there in the division. And so Lorenz Larkin, he is now signed. And so, like I said, he won his last two fights. So that's a good signing. And then this week, Bellator announces, and we kind of saw this one coming because we heard about this, Ryan Bader has officially signed with the UFC. Now, Ryan Bader, he has a win over the current Bellator light heavyweight champion, Phil Davis.
Mm-hmm.
He's won seven of his last eight. His only loss in his last eight fights was to Rumble Johnson. So, again, a top five guy at light heavyweight. Now, heavyweight, you know, light heavyweight is shallow.
It's much more shallow now.
But in general, but it is still, he's still one of the top light heavyweights in the world. And this opens up, he should probably get an immediate title shot against Phil Davis.
Yeah, how do you know?
Someone that he's already beat. And then it also opens up for him fights against Tito Ortiz. Get that rematch back.
Chael Sonnen?
Chael Sonnen or Fedor. So a lot of good opportunities for Ryan Bader. He's got a fight. I heard this week he's got a finish bonus, but not like a win purse. He just he fights and he shows and he wins whatever he makes, whatever he makes. Not deterrent on if you win or lose.
It's actually a thing that he was mentioning before in previous interviews.
So, and then obviously get your sponsors back. Now, speaking of Bellator, Bellator is actually going to be making waves and then making their way back into pay-per-view. So they announced that on June 24th, they're going to be at Madison Square Garden, and they're going to have a pay-per-view fight headlined by Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva.
Wait. That's the headliner?
That is the headliner. And the co-main event right now is Fedor versus Matt Mitrione. Now, if I was Bellator, I would try to get the rest of these guys. So get your Ryan Baders, get your Lorenz Larkins, get more fighters on this card that you want to showcase.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to get kind of your Michael Venom Page, who just fought in Europe. You know, he's fighting next month. I think that's too quick of a turnaround. You want to get people that you want to showcase because people will watch Fedor. Now, but that does beg a question, though. Fedor versus
Rory McDonald's not signed yet, is he?
You know, he's on Paul Daly on that UK card next month.
Oh, that's right.
And so Fedor versus Mitrione was a free fight on TV.
Right.
Now they're putting it for $60. And Chael versus Wanderlei. Are people going to buy that?
Man, I don't know. I mean, Chael Sonnen, he talks a good game, but that's the only part of his game that's really good. Wanderlei Silva, we haven't seen him fight in, what, 2 years?
Yeah,
we
got that suspension.
Yeah.
So people care about drama.
Yeah.
That's what sells. People care. I'm trying to think. I was speaking with a wrestler last week at Wrestle Circus. I believe it was Colt Cabana. And it's just people care about drama.
Game dropper.
If they are, well, I'll tell you. You'll have heard this in a second. So, the people care about drama. It doesn't matter what they do, as long as there's drama attached to it.
Right.
That's what happens. So.
And that's why Chael makes the big bucks, and that's why he's still got a job.
I like it. So.
Despite being on a 4-fight losing streak. Yeah. But here's a question I have: the UFC letting all these guys go. Do you think it's just because they don't think the investment is worth the reward, or do you think it could be a ploy to get themselves out of this antitrust lawsuit by saying, hey, this guy went to Japan, this guy went to Korea, these guys went to Russia, these guys went to Bellator. How are we a monopoly?
Definitely could be. I definitely think it could be.
Yeah. All right. Now, this one's a little strange for me, but it seems Papa Vitor wants a piece of CM Punk. Jordan, seriously, what's up with that?
I mean, that's a true thing. So, Vitor said that for his last fight, he thought that it might be interesting if he went out against CM Punk.
And well, like now, you just said, drama.
I mean, yes, that is interesting. But, I mean,
but in more of a what the kind of way instead of a oh my God kind of way.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you can't imagine that Vitor Belfort and CM Punk is the right fight to make for his last fight. Now, yes, if you want to go out and win, sure. But if you really think that that's the right fight and that's like makes sense, then come on. But that's a true thing.
You know what, though? Now I kind of want to see it. All right.
It was Terrell Tempo. That's what I was talking. It wasn't Colt Cabana. Oh. It was Terrell Tempo. He fights locally at Inspire. So, but yeah, we had a good conversation. And yeah, people care about drama. It doesn't matter what's happening. Drama sells.
Yes, it does. Now, speaking of selling, hit us up with some new fights.
All right, we got some good ones. So Derek Lewis,
he's going to
be fighting Mark Hunt at UFC Fight Night Auckland on June 11th.
And he said don't talk to him about fighting for a few months, yeah, so he's got some time now.
Not a thing. So he's still ready to go. Derek Brunson is actually going to fight Dan Kelly on that card, so old man Dan Kelly.
Yeah, so Derek Brunson, another old guy.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit slower, but he's tough as hell.
All right, we got Aljamain Sterling fighting Augusto Mendez on UFC on Fox 24 on April 15th.
All right.
You got BJ Penn coming back against Dennis Seaver. That was the original fight.
Finally making this fight.
That's happening in Oklahoma City. You got
they're
Tim Boach.
I heard they're saying they don't know what's going to headline that card. I'm like, come on. Yeah.
Tim Boach versus Johnny Hendricks on that same card.
That's interesting.
Felice Herrig versus Justine Kish. And then we talked about Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei and Fedor Emelianenko versus Matt Mitrione. Those are the new fights, Eddie. That's what's up with that.
Well, there it is. Hang tight. We'll be right back. But Jordan, is there really a champion right now?
Wait, what are you talking about? What are we talking about?
Invicta FC 22. Oh.
So no. No, there's not.
Well, technically, I guess there's not. Is the belt held up, or does Evander just get her belt back?
Well, there's one bantamweight champion, and that's Joanna Jędrzejczyk. And Joanna Jędrzejczyk is not fighting this weekend, so the champ is not here.
Did you just call Joanna the bantamweight champion?
Oh, I did. What? Sorry.
Strawweight.
Yeah. So there's only one bantamweight champion.
Well, catch the people up.
And that is Amanda Nunes.
And catch the people up on the Evander situation.
All right. So Tonya Evander has a rematch against Yana Kunitsikawa for the Invicta Bantamweight Championship. All right. So if you remember back, it was back in November. Evander lost her bantamweight championship. It really was an upset. This was Kunitsikawa's first match in Invicta. It was an armbar submission, and so it was a controversial loss because the referee told Evander to move from an illegal or from a legal position.
Mm-hmm.
So he told her, "Hey, you've got to move," and she moved from that legal position, and she says that is what led directly to the submission. So she appealed her loss, and I believe it was in like Kansas City.
Yeah, it was in Missouri.
And on December 1st, the loss was changed to a no contest,
and
which
that
means
that never happens.
That negates Kunitsikawa's win. And so she no longer is the champion. So the belt goes back to Evander, and now we're doing the thing again.
I'm going to call it held up.
Okay.
I'm going to say the belt was vacated just because I'm an old-school wrestler.
So it wasn't. It was not vacated.
It was just given back.
Evander still has the title, and now she's the champion. Now they're fighting again this week at Invicta.
You know, they should have done like a vignette where Kunitskaya has to hand the belt back to Evander in the cage, a la Charlotte and Bailey. Bailey, yeah.
That would have been rough, and I wouldn't have watched it.
But it would have made this one so much more interesting.
Now, where on TV would that have been, Eddie?
You know, they can put it on YouTube.
On the UFC Network?
Fight Pass.
So this is Invicta Fight 22.
22,
all right? And it's from Kansas City, Missouri. So back to where it all began.
A different referee. We'll be fine.
Really, that's kind of the main fight on this card. That's the only thing for me that I would want to follow up with and see who won. So, Evander versus Kunitsikawa, who wins this fight?
I'm giving it to Evander. She's got a bone to pick. She's got something to prove. And she's not going to let herself get in that situation again.
All right, I agree. So, we're both going with Evander, and we'll see what happens.
All right.
All right.
Well, so if we have to have some kind of pick contest this week, back to the NCAAs.
We are going back to the NCAAs.
Which, by the way, you're still behind me on. Yeah, Jordan had to open his mouth. Was it Friday morning?
I did.
Friday afternoon?
Friday morning.
And say,
Thursday afternoon.
Oh, Thursday, okay.
Yeah, after the first two games.
Yeah, Eddie's behind after the first two games. He lost them both. Ha, ha, ha.
And that's not what I said.
Yeah, basically.
I didn't say you're behind. I just said, look, it's very obvious that if one person in the entire group were to start out with 0 points in the first two games, obviously Eddie Cross. And it was a true statement. You were down.
I was down.
You did lose the first two games.
And then I went... 13-1 the rest of the day, rest of the weekend?
I don't know. Did you?
I believe I did.
So you beat me by one game in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
But Eddie, I don't know if you know this. Have you looked at possible points remaining?
No.
Now you and I both have UNC in the finals.
Right.
But possible points remaining, I've got you ahead. I got you beaten on that.
Well, so possible.
It is possible. So
it means
these
nothing.
These are the main games that matter for us. So we are different.
There might be fights
when it comes to Oregon and Michigan. You had Creighton going all the way to the Elite Eight. I have Oregon winning this game and going to the Elite Eight. All right?
Either way, they're going to lose to Kansas.
That would be okay for you.
But all right. Michigan's pretty up there.
All right, you have Gonzaga versus West Virginia. You have West Virginia coming out going to the Elite Eight.
I have Gonzaga going to the Final Four.
Okay, well, we're not there yet. I do see that.
I'm just saying, yeah.
So, yeah, we have West Virginia going. So, that's a big. If West Virginia goes to the Final Four, you got me.
Oh, man.
Okay? You got me. You might even win the whole league. So, or the whole.
Sometimes you got to step out there on a limb, Jordan. Yeah,
you might not win anything, but you will win the pot.
Right, yeah.
So.
The pot of nothing.
Well, and it's nothing. Yeah, we'll give the
prizes to the second place finisher.
The second runner-up.
The first loser behind me.
All right. And then the other matchup, we have UCLA and University of Kentucky, which is probably the match of the weekend.
Yeah, that's
going to be, at least in the Sweet 16, that is the difference. You have University of Kentucky, I have UCLA. What do you think about this LeVar Ball?
Dude, I don't even know who LeVar Ball
is. I mean,
Ball
the crazy
is.
Things that this guy says.
Who is he?
He's their dad.
Who's dad?
Lonzo Ball's dad. He plays for UCLA.
See, this is what I'm like.
He says he's like, you know, he's like, I could have beat Michael Jordan one-on-one back in the day. My kids will be set up more than LeBron James' kids.
Apparently he can't count.
He's just a dad that is way too involved.
And needs to shut up. Like we said before, I don't watch Total Bellas. I don't watch ESPN drama. You know,
but he's got this brand called the Big Baller Brand where he sells hats for like $100. And, you know, he says,
now you know why I don't know him.
He says, if you can't afford it, that's not for you.
Yeah, it's not for me, so I don't know who he is.
So, but he's very outspoken talking about how he could beat, you know, Charles Barkley one-on-one.
And then Charles Barkley, now.
And Charles Barkley was like, I don't know, did that guy win a bunch of championships? I mean, I don't remember. Let me tell about this guy.
Yeah, what did he do? Was he an all-star?
So, yeah, LeVar Ball, man. That guy's crazy. So what are you doing this weekend, Eddie? Besides watching Invicta.
Friday night, I'm going out to a comedy club.
Louis Tyrus here yet?
Not yet. No, this is just he was the last Comic Standing finalist, Joe Maki.
Okay.
Dude's seriously funny.
Great.
Got some free tickets to that. Saturday, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
What's going on?
I don't know yet. I have to coach a water polo game for the Cedar Park kind of high school kids on Saturday. Drake has a football game. He's the Rams this year. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, you know what? I think, thanks for the reminder. I've got my goddaughter's soccer match on Saturday.
Okay. And I don't know what else is going on, so.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a slow week, man. I don't really know what to do with myself a lot of times. I've been seeing a lot of movies. So, maybe I'll go check Beauty and the Beast.
You should. We got 1 week until Mania, so get excited. But, Eddie, it was a great night. A very big thank you to Brian Campbell. Check him out on B Campbell CBS. You can follow us on
right
Fight
now.
Night ATX on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook.
And Snapchat. We got to get you snapping more.
I was almost going to snap today something, and then I decided not to. So I'm sorry.
Okay.
But guys, we will be back. We will talk about the Raw side of Mania next week, and we will get all our picks and predictions. We will be back. Have a good night. We'll see you later.
Tell your friends, subscribe.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.